And if you haven't noticed, time after time, so many employers don't actually value their employees when your team and the people working for you are really the creators of what your business is going to generate and what's going to push your business forward. So my guest today, Alicia Kodzi, is the founder of Hummingbird Consultancy. So Hummingbird Consultancy is a specialist in HR and IR in industrial relations help. They help small to medium businesses to really maximize their potential of their people and help push their business forward. So Alicia, I'm so happy to be able to speak to you again and be able to share out your message and how you can help the world.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
So Alicia, if you could just give everyone, audience, a bit of a background into basically, you know, what were your upbringing was like for you growing up and what really sparked your journey what was the story behind Hummingbird Consultancy?
So I'm originally from South Africa, and I've been in human resources pretty much always wanted to be in human resources since I can remember. I suppose that springs from a wanting to help people. So really coming from that and want to be in an environment where I can do that, especially small businesses. I've been in the corporate world for a long time, but the last 4 years I decided once I had my two little ones that I wanted to have more flexibility. Definitely. But still be able to help businesses. So hence the reason I started my business in providing HR and IR consultancy to smaller sized businesses that may not have a dedicated HR or IR person in the business.
Definitely. And I remember before when we spoke, I'd love you to touch on, you know, what the meaning behind Hummingbird was for you. Like what really sparked that up?
Yes. When I went about looking for a business name, I was looking and I found this hummingbird totem, and what I really liked about it was that it said that a hummingbird is quite adaptable and in businesses, and I immediately connected that to business being adaptable to their environment. And and the hummingbird also something very special about them is they're the only birds in the world that can actually fly backwards.
Wow.
So that was something that I thought was quite unique. And I thought that I also have a unique business that I could present to my customers.
That's perfect. Wow, that's brilliant. I absolutely love that story. And it was something I actually didn't even know that before, that hummingbirds can fly backwards. So, yeah, I've definitely learned something out of that. So, Alicia, I know you specialize in obviously helping businesses to, you know, increase their people, like get their people performing at a great level and to, you know, help to understand a lot of processes and procedures. So, you know, say if there was an organization or a business owner listening who really wanted to maximize their people they've got working for them, or they find that they're not really pushing themselves to where they want to be, what would be some tips and advice you could give them to help them with either their HR or their IR?
I think with that basic structure to be put in place, it's really looking from what is in place in terms of a job description. A simple thing as having a job description in place, and where possible, have some key performance indicators, which we know as KPIs.
Yep.
Have some KPIs that are measurable from both the employer side as well as the employee, so that everyone brilliant. Knows exactly what is expected from the employee, and then have regular check-in points. Have a 3-month or a 6-month chat. It doesn't have to be quite formal. It can be quite informal. But have a chat about where are we tracking? How are we doing? Are we reaching the goals and the KPIs in our job description and our job that we are supposed to? And then having that conversation and making notes around how those things can be improved from both sides, from the employer and the employee. What support can the employer give the employee, and what can the employee from their side do to improve their performance?
That's perfect. And yeah, as I was saying before, it's something I've seen in so many organizations, like working for different jobs, is where, you know, a lot of organizations don't really have any great processes or procedures. And a lot of the time the staff have felt like they kind of just float along, or they just kind of create their own things. Like, I think it's so valuable what you do. And I think you should be so proud of yourself for what you do, because it's something that's so drastically needed in the world and in the workforce.
Oh, no, thanks, Paul. Yes, I believe that, you know, any business are existing because not just for making money, but they're employing other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And to employ, they want to have the best employees, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They want to have the best employees to actually make their business more money.
Yep.
But, you know, you can only, businesses can only attract the best candidates if they are doing the right thing, which means they need to be compliant with all the relevant employment laws. They have to make sure that they pay under the correct awards that they fall under. But most importantly, create an environment where it's a happy workplace. Employees know what they are supposed to be doing. Having policies, like a simple thing like a code of conduct. How does the employee need to behave within their working environment? And the employer on their side providing that guidance to their employees.
Yeah, so true. It was funny. I was actually talking to one of my friends the other day about this and the value of workplace culture and how, you know, a lot of the big leading companies are creating an amazing workplace culture. And by having all this stuff in place, you know, you're going to have a thriving business and a happy, you know, fulfilled and satisfied team, which is going to really help drive your business as well.
Absolutely. And one thing that one should never forget is that having a turnover of employees is actually very costly, not just in finance, but in time. Every time you have to employ another person to do the job, it takes them on average between 9 and 12 weeks to actually be really contributing to the company and learning everything that they need to be doing and be really effective.
Yeah.
As well as financially, if you had to recruit someone in that time that they are training and in that time that they're learning how to do things, it's costing the business money.
Yeah, definitely. A few of my friends are in recruitment as well, and they've told me about all of that. And it's going to be a very costly process for a lot of businesses if you have to find new staff, you know, get experienced people or try and get the best staff you can. Then yeah, it's going to be a big process in either time or money. So thanks for sharing that. So Litzy, I'd love to know, what are some of the biggest things you're most excited in or looking forward in your business? What some things that really got you lit up inside?
I am really, the one thing that really makes me lit up is performance management. Yeah. I think there's so much that can be done, but simple things. It doesn't have to be a process of everyone fearing to have that conversation, that difficult conversation about having an employee that may not perform. And I feel that when we can teach business owners and managers to have simple but open communications with their staff, where it's not a big stick approach or where it's not criticism or critical conversation, but it's rather a let's see how we can improve this together and how can we have that conversation. So it's a bit more around, okay, well, we've got an issue here, but how can we improve it and what are the steps that we're going to do? And both working together, it's not just one pointing the finger to the other. So I'm really excited to do a bit of that around helping small businesses make it easy for them to have a process in place to performance manage, but also how to have those difficult conversations and not be afraid of it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. And I think it's such a valuable insight to have as well. I have to have a leader that actually, you know, wants to collaborate with their staff and not just like, I always love the old saying, it's like, you know, bosses push from the back and leaders lead from the front. Like that's always something that's really inspired me and what you try and look for in a leader or, you know, potentially try and be a leader. So just touching on that, I know you do touch on a lot of leadership skills and, you know, help their organizations with leaders as well. So, you know, say if there's someone listening or an employee listening who really wanted to be a better leader and be, you know, improve the way that they lead their teams, what would be some tips or tricks that you could recommend to help them do that?
The first things first, when you look at leadership or leading a team, it always starts with the self. Yep. So looking first at how is it that you are leading and how does your staff actually experience you as a leader? And you can actually, by having an open conversation with them around asking them, how do they find your leadership?
Yeah, that's true.
And how do they find your style? And yes, it may be confronting, but sometimes you just can't see the blind spots yourself.
Exactly.
So by asking your team some questions and get some 360 feedback around, you know, how do I come across and what do you think about my style and what are the areas that I'm really good at and what other areas do you believe I can improve on?
Yeah.
And by doing that, I think it's been something like a little bit of leadership coaching from a coach would be really helpful to look at those things that you may be able to improve on. But we don't want to just focus on the things that are negative or that you have to improve on, but really look at the things you are really good at and even enhancing those even more.
Definitely. And I love that you touched on feedback. I think that's so valuable. And I noticed it a lot with the career counseling space as well. When I say to people, do you follow up on your interviews or do you follow up on your job applications? And so many people are scared to do it. And it might be confronting, and I understand that, but I think that's the tool that's going to help you break through and, you know, change who you are. And potentially, especially for jobs and like you're saying for leadership, you can't often find out about these things because some employees are probably too afraid to say them to you. But if you're prompting this and creating a safe space for them to communicate, then yeah, it's going to open up and make you a better leader. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Now, what I learned the other day, it's about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yep,
so
definitely.
It's really about,
you know, so true.
Because it's where we are uncomfortable is where the growth happens.
So true. Exactly right. So Alicia, I'd love to find out, we've all got our own really positive trait and positive habit that's helped us achieve the success that we have in our life or in our business. We've also got a hindering habit that's potentially held us back a little bit. What do you think would be your most positive habit that's helped you achieve the success in your life? What would be your most hindering?
Most positive one is that I am really determined. So once I've made a decision, I will do everything to achieve the goal that I've set out for myself. So I'm really determined. On the other side of that is sometimes I do procrastinate a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if the task is a little bit daunting or if it's something that's new that I haven't done before, I would probably procrastinate around it for a few days and go, oh, maybe I'll just put that on the bottom of the priority
list. Yep.
Until I can get my head around it. But usually once I start with something, when I start something, I'll finish it. It's just sometimes making that initial start. Scared of being of the unknown, I suppose.
Definitely. I think we're all guilty of the procrastination part of things. But I think the determination is what's going to help you get a long way. I feel quite similar with my positive strengths and weaknesses as well. So, yeah, thank you for that. So, Alicia, obviously I've got a lot of people listening to the show who are, you know, professionals or are in a career. So I'd love to know, what do you think would be some of the best advice? So obviously a lot of people don't really understand their industrial relations or, you know, their contracts that they've currently got, or they might be getting screwed over a little bit on them. So what do you think would be some of the advice for people in a career to help them with their industrial relations or to potentially, you know, look for any loopholes or anything that their contract might not be serving them?
The first point of contact, the first point would be to really go and have a look at what is under their award, their industry award. Now, in saying that, the industrial awards are quite long and sometimes a bit difficult to read and go through them because they can be quite technical.
Yep.
But in simple terms, if you just go and have a look at what are the basics that need to be there. So what is the minimum weekly rate that you have to be paid? What is the minimum or the maximum hours that is in that award? Is there any allowances that you are eligible for that you may not be getting? Those are the simple things around hours of work, when you're getting paid, how much you're getting paid, what extra allowances should you be getting paid, that you can quickly find on the Workplace Commission's website.
Okay, and perfect.
You can go and search any of the awards. They are on there, and all that you have to do is find out what is your relevant award in your industry or the business that you work for, search it, it will bring it up, and you can go and have a look at that.
That's perfect. Yeah, I'll definitely link that up in the show notes for everybody, and that was some great advice as well. I think, yeah, a lot of people would be a lot clearer on things in their career now because I know that, you know, a lot of people feel like potentially not they're getting the best thing or maybe their contract wasn't exactly right, so that's great to know.
Yeah.
So Alicia, I'd love to find out as well. What are some of the amazing results you've generated for your clients? I know you've done some incredible things for some of the people you've worked with. So yeah, what would be some of the best things that you've achieved with your clients?
Most recently, I've done a project with a colleague of mine where we did strategic workforce plans for 15 disability service organizations.
Oh wow!
From their strategic plan, we have got them to create a 3-year strategic workforce plan. And we took them through workshops and took it step by step as to what does the workforce currently look like?
Yep.
What is it going to possibly look like in the future based on some of the analysis in terms of turnover and what is the business growth going to be? So it's a simple calculation. How many have you got now? How many do you need? And then what skill set does those people need for the next period? Especially in disability services, there has been a lot of change around what kind of people they need in the future. So looking at the skill set and how are they differently going to recruit for that skill set?
Yep.
So helping them to have that strategic workforce plan to then go back to their businesses. Say, all right, this is in line with our strategic plan and how we're going to implement this and keep tabs on it. And also looking at strategies, other strategies like, for example, using values-based questions when they interview.
So they make sure that
the employees that they actually employ are in line with their values.
Exactly.
Because once an employee's values is in alignment with the company's values, then immediately there's a connection. And they will probably do over and above what's expected of them purely because of that connection. That was for the disability service organization. And the other one I did recently was setting up some structures around HR, some policies and some procedures, just so employees are more aware around what is required of them in that workplace. So a code of conduct and some policies around social media and how to use that in the workplace. And then around performance management.
Wow, that's brilliant. I absolutely love that as well. I think that's so amazing what you've done and the great results you've achieved with these clients. I think that's something that I hold quite dearly. I mean, you know, from previous work and things like that, you know, you can see the importance in what you do and how valuable it is to so many organizations. They need to embrace this going forward. So thank you so much for sharing that, Alicia.
No problem.
So,
sorry, I just wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I suppose the other side of the coin is just employers need to ask themselves, what is the alternative?
Definitely.
If they don't have those things in place, what are the alternatives?
Yeah.
And they can be quite costly.
Definitely, yeah. Very, very costly and time-consuming, that's for sure. So, Alicia, say if anybody wanted to reach out to you or get in contact with you and get on board with your incredible business, where would be the best place to do that?
On my website, which is hummingbirdconsultancy.com.au, would be the best place. There's a contact form and I can respond to that immediately.
Perfect. Well, Alicia, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I've loved the incredible advice you've shared, and I strongly recommend everyone who's listening, go back and have a real listen to that, because there's some important things and some crucial things that are really going to help you in your career or potentially with your business moving forward. So be sure to listen to that. So, Alicia, thank you again for your time. It's been an absolute honour speaking to you again. I've always loved our chats.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.